Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
What an intriguing way to end a segment, the fall of the Berlin Wall. What does that have to do with any of the things we're talking about? George Hansen, please explain.
It is very fundamental to what we're talking about, and I don't think most ufologists understand that. With the fall of the Berlin Wall, we saw a huge upsurge in interest in the paranormal all across Eastern Europe. Same time, and I'm not sure all the connections, we saw a huge interest in UFO abductions in our country and in Western Europe. Whitley Strieber's book was getting a lot of attention, as was Bud Hopkins. The UFO groups were booming. I've been a member of our local UFO group for about 25 years now. It goes back to 89. And at that time, we would have standing room only audiences at our meetings. We would get people coming literally 3, even 4 hours away to come to our meetings. Today, we don't have nearly that level of interest. Bud Hopkins, Whitley Strieber, were getting literally thousands, tens of thousands of letters for people who had experiences. So something was happening in the culture. When the Berlin Wall fell, we also had something of a recession in our country. I think those are very much related. We had a destabilizing of structure. Of boundaries and structures that really have profound influences on us, whether we're conscious of them or not. And it's under those types of conditions that we see these phenomena manifest. This also happens somewhat in personal lives. One of the places where people have shift their boundaries and their identities and are unsafe is in the teenage years. And in earlier cultures, there were rituals to take a person from child to adult. And during those rituals, there was a period called a liminal time. And that's where the person was neither child nor adult, and they were allowed to go out and pillage, and they would be allowed to sort of go wild. And then they'd be brought back in with other rituals and be made into an adult. So there was that in-between period that was unstable. We see the same thing when a person dies. There's a period of mourning, and in some cases, in most cases, it's rather disruptive to a family situation, even if it's expected. And there would be rituals to contain that. But it's during those periods that people were much more likely to see apparitions of the deceased, whether they knew they were dead or not. The phenomena of apparitions of the deceased really peaked around the time, a little bit before, a little bit after people died. So again, we see a particular time slot where phenomena occurred and there was a major transition in society or in a human life. So this idea of transition is very important. This breaking down or change seems to be associated with these phenomena. And we see that in the laboratory as well as in ethnographic data and historical data. So these phenomena are somehow linked.
Well, that's a perfect lead-in for a question that we have for you, George, at forum.theparacast.com. Burnt State is a real seeker out there. He's one of our top posters, and he has a couple of three very good questions, and one of them is exactly about what you're just referring to. And he says, in Arnold Van Gennep's The Rites of Passage, it says that the coming of age rituals moves through a three-part process of separation, the liminal period, and then reassimilation. He's noticed that experiences of unique phenomenon who have been touched by the liminal period are not reassimilated into our culture, but are called kooks, crazies, and weirdos who probably wear tinfoil hats. Why do you think we no longer honor and celebrate the person who has gone through such experiences, and what are the consequences to human culture when their knowledge and experience is no longer being assimilated into our society? Really good question.
Well, that's a really terrific question, and I'd have to think about it a lot. There's a lot of implications. This questioner here obviously has done a lot of study, because he's quite right. People who have these experiences often are not effectively reintegrated into the culture, so they seek out UFO groups and other paranormal groups to try to make some sense of what they underwent. What are the implications for it? Well, it's hard to know for sure, but I think when these phenomena are not recognized, it's not altogether healthy for a society, and you will have certain types of breakdowns. These phenomena tend to erupt somehow in periods where it's unexpected. I'm not ready to make any real statements as to what we should expect. I've been thinking about this a lot, and I will be continuing to think about it. But your questioner has raised a very, very significant point. When we ignore these phenomena, they tend to erupt in ways that we don't expect. I'm not quite ready to say too much more right now, but it's an excellent point.
Here's a follow-up to that. In your opinion, are there strategies that an individual can use to enter the liminal zone? And if so, what are the dangers of getting up close to the trickster? Given the lack of current support, how should a person go about reassimilating themselves into society following such experiences? I could probably take a stab at that one as well.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead and take a stab, and I'll give you a little bit.
Well, keep an open mind and get a support structure around you of people that know you're not a kook, a crazy wearing a tinfoil hat. And, you know, start individual by individual. Find a support structure that you can rely on, and then, you know, take it with baby steps, one step at a time. I think joining groups, you know, I've always kind of used the Groucho maxim of I'd never be a member of a group that would have me as one. But
and the group, by the way, may think the same of you.
Probably. Well, I turned Stephen Greer down for a lifetime membership of C-Steady, and I use that very quote. But I would say to you know, have a personal support system around you of individuals who you can bounce some of these issues off of, and become more aware of your personal rituals in your life and how those can affect how your life unfolds in the society and in the culture. And be open-minded and become a seeker and continue to ask relevant, important questions and do your own research and really, really work at it. It's not something that you're going to learn by turning on the TV, by zeroing in on the internet haphazardly. It's something that you need to allow synchronicity and the signals in your life, be able to identify those and know when it's time to really stop what you're doing and focus on a particular coincidental event that may have some relevance that you're not aware of at the time. Write everything down. That's the one that I always tell everybody. Always write things down, because even though they might seem inconsequential at the moment, 6 months from now, if you look back at these things, you tend to look and see potential patterns, and that's something that I've done, I think, fairly effectively in my life.
Well, thank you. I don't have a lot to add to that, but I'd like to reinforce the idea of a support structure. I try to know people in a variety of different groups, not just one or two, and keep contacts open. Also, I generally recommend people, well, don't quit your day job in most cases. Try to keep some kind of order in your life that you can go to and just kind of keep things a little bit separate. I, for instance, rarely talk about paranormal topics in a work situation. If someone wants to bring it up, I'll be happy to talk to them, but I really don't talk about it very openly. But ever since I've gotten involved in this field, I've made a point of checking out a variety of different groups, and including skeptics groups. And I think that has been helpful for me anyway. I don't think skeptics groups will be appropriate for most people, but for someone with a probably fairly strong scientific orientation, they can be. So I think you've given some very good advice here. Back to you guys.
Here's the third question that Bernstein is asking. That's a good one, too.
And we break right after this.
Okay. Well, it's a long question, so let's go ahead and we'll take it up in the next segment. But basically, it's like, what is the effect of the digital revolution on this particular transformative personal process that we're talking about?
Paranormal phenomena with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So are we all becoming digital? What about AI, artificial intelligence? But a very interesting question from Bernd State, who's one of our smartest posters on the forums at forum.theparacast.com. Quick reminder before we get back with Chris's question and George Hansen, go to plus.theparacast.com right now. plus.theparacast.com right now. And check out all the information about signing up for Paracast Plus. Get an ad-free version of the show, better quality audio, and the new exclusive After the Paracast podcast exclusive to members of Paracast Plus. Chris.
A lot of studies around the trickster as a figure descend from the anthropological studies and connects concepts of how people progress through their society by some type of initiation process that is paradigm shifting and profoundly experiential, the type of thing that you were talking about before, and we still see in indigenous cultures today. These often happen in the wilderness, in the familiar isolated spaces where we see UFOs, Bigfoots, monsters, and other worldly beings. Have you, George, noticed any shift in how the trickster presents itself in an age of urban living during the digital revolution? And do you think we can still experience these personally transformative events inside this wilderness of digital culture? Another very good question.
Okay, this is very broad, and I'm going to focus it just a little bit. I'd like to talk about the digital revolution and the internet and the like. It's an extraordinarily good question. One of the people who's written a little bit on it is Eric Davis in his book, Tech Gnosis. But I'd like to point out that the internet itself has had major influences on our culture and society that are very much trickster in nature. First of all, the trickster is typically a boundary destroyer or boundary crosser. And the internet allows enormous interconnectivity and crossing boundaries, international boundaries. I've communicated with people in Iran, in many other countries. So the boundaries are breaking down. Just the way we think about how our world is built is breaking down. That's partly trickster. Also, you see a lot of deception on the internet. You don't know what's true, what's false. Again, very trickster. What's one of the biggest things sold or involved in the internet? Porn. Well, that's violation of sexual taboos. Also, it allows the marginal groups, the little guy, a voice. And sometimes those little guys and those marginal cultures can have a significant impact. That's what's called an inversion of hierarchy. Some of those small people, the little groups, can have a major impact. So the hierarchies are disrupted. Again, that's very trickster. The trickster is an underdog. People in the minority groups tend to have a greater understanding and affinity for the trickster than people in positions of power. So the internet is very much a disruptive technology. Disruption is part of the whole trickster archetype. So it's hard to predict what's going to happen. Things are more open. There are more possibilities available for us. So the digital revolution is indeed very, very trickster. It's very hard to make strong predictions about it, but we should be understanding what this entails, the breakdown of boundaries. When boundaries break down, when social groups break down, well, other groups are going to form. Groups that we might not be consciously aware of or thinking about now. Because when there is a great deal of chaos, there's also a human tendency to restrict that chaos and establish order and structure, sometimes very, very quickly, and sometimes with not a lot of care for human needs.
Right. The Arab Spring phenomenon
would be
a good example of social media and the little guy having tremendous influence. Now, George, you mentioned chaos. That's a perfect lead-in to a question from Wade Ridsdale, who's one of our top posters at forum.theparacast.com. And Wade is another one of our real thinkers that listens to the show. And he asks, being that I am getting obsessed about how the principles of chaos theory may be intertwined in just about every aspect of our reality, I would like to hear what George has to say about what is the relationship, if any, between a trickster element and chaos theory, and is it the trickster that makes this world, or chaos, or both? And, of course, he says that's a play on Lewis Hyde's book, Trickster Makes This World.
It's an excellent question. Certainly, the trickster is sort of the governing archetype of periods of instability and chaos. Now, the trickster is not completely chaotic. There are certain patterns that we can see. It's not total chaos, but it's at the edge between chaos and order. In more chaotic situations, things are more in flux, so they can be more easily influenced. And we see this in some parapsychological laboratory work when certain types of systems that are more chaotic, more tend to fluctuate, have been shown to be more amenable to psychic influence. And, of course, they're more amenable to ordinary influences as well. So it also means they're probably a bit more unpredictable. But there are certain patterns in those types of situations. We're probably going to encounter deception more frequently than others. We're going to be finding people who have low status may emerge more often than in more stable situations. We're going to find sexual exploration and violation of sexual taboos more common. So we do have certain patterns we can see, but it also makes things more unpredictable and unstable. So back to you guys.
Okay, here's a question from someone who just signed up this past Monday, one of our new listeners, and he's posted his question at forum.theparacast.com. You know, we've already kind of briefly touched on this, but he has an interesting question about why, and possibly give us examples in your belief that paranormal events such as UFO sightings, visits from ghosts, strange creature manifestations tend to occur when our society is in transition. Now, you did kind of address that, but let's dig a little deeper on this one. You mentioned the UFO wave of 66, 67 during a tremendous time of social upheaval in our country and cultural change. I personally think psychedelic use may have had something to do with it peripherally.
I agree.
But why do you think this is? I mean, is it the cart or the horse, the chicken or the egg? Do the cultural transitional periods create openings for tricksterish type elements, or do the tricksterish type elements allow for the upheaval and change and destabilization of the culture? Which came first?
Excellent question. And the answer is both. This is a constellation, not a linear cause-effect relationship. It's a bit like synchronicity. Synchronicity is an a-causal connecting principle. These things happen together. You can think of it in either direction. And this is a little bit difficult for a lot of people to grasp. It's, again, time is irrelevant. This is a constellation. So certainly, if one encounters a disruptive situation, that might stimulate these paranormal phenomena. But if you encounter paranormal phenomena, they can be very much life-changing and very destabilizing to your worldview and to your life.
Before this show becomes destabilized, let's just take that pause that refreshes. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year K-Slot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods. And receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. questions. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the freeze-dry guy. Plus, long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone, so call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars, too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the freeze-dry guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the freeze-dry guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I'd prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond Osteo FX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
We have George Hansen, author of The Trickster and the Paranormal. And we've talked so much about tricksters and abductions and other subjects. Let's get to the book here. Let's focus on that for the remaining two segments, although everything goes back to that book. Why did you write that book? Why did you feel the need to set all this down and make it available for people to read for posterity, George Hansen?
Well, that's a very good question. I had worked in parapsychology laboratories for 8 years, as I'd mentioned, and there were certain aspects of that experience I just didn't quite understand. So for a few years, I started reading biographies of con artists and works on theories of deception and started thinking about, okay, what is the connection between deception and the paranormal? And so I started to notice, well, of course, there were mediums that were deceitful. In fact, the history of mediumship, especially physical mediumship, producing large-scale physical phenomena, was rife with accounts of deceptive mediums. Okay. And I was also involved with the UFO topic at that time. So this whole idea of deception and UFOs, they were just so interrelated, and there had to be some type of connection here. I also came across the book Synchronicity, Science, Myth, and the Trickster by Combs and Hound. It's a very good book, and I highly recommend it. And they pointed out, which is something I had not realized, is that in many earlier cultures, the idea of synchronicity and divination and the trickster went very much together. So, okay, I'm seeing a little connection here. Synchronicity and trickster? Very interesting. Then I found an article by an anthropologist named Van Reedhead on structure and anti-structure. I knew that UFO groups and parapsychology laboratories and spiritualist groups were not all that stable. So the term anti-structure grabbed my attention. It was a very, very interesting article. It was published, I think, about 1993 in a journal called Anthropology of Consciousness. And with those things coming together in my mind, I said, aha, there are some very fundamental linkages here. Anti-structure is a synonym of liminality. And I had read about the trickster, and I had read about liminality in a few articles, and I had no idea what people were talking about. Then I started reading more deeply and more articles, and all of this started coming together. So we had a collection, a confluence of ideas. You had the trickster, you had deception, you had instability, you had synchronicity. All of these things come together in the trickster figure. And no one really was writing about this. And I realized these are fundamental qualities of the paranormal. And so that's what it was. Finally, the Van Reed Head article that convinced me there was something very fundamental linking these things. And that's why I wrote the book. But thank you for asking. It's a long explanation. I don't expect everyone to understand that. But there were odd things, the deception, the synchronicity, the divination, this instability in groups. There are fundamental linkages, and we need to understand it in looking at it, starting with basically these empirical observations. They have to be related, and they are.
Right, and they, it just is across the board. The influence of these elements sweep across the board, all the way through the culture, through various fields, the scientific fields, academia, through trends, fads. I mean, the application is actually breathtaking when you really look at the element of liminality and structure and anti-structure and destabilization. These things are really important and play a crucial role in all elements of our reality.
That's right. And the investigators have to realize that when they start a group and they go out and investigate, they're likely to encounter interpersonal problems. This goes with the territory. These groups don't last. And I was very puzzled why they did not last. And I had observed this in even before I was in parapsychology scientifically, I was involved with paranormal groups, and I was seeing the same thing. And that puzzled me. But you're right. You see this across the board. And there has to be some kind of explanation or understanding of this. And if we are expecting to be accepted and becoming integrated into the academic world, into the universities, we've got to really rethink our expectations and what is possible. Yeah.
In your dreams, pal.
Yeah. And why is that? And what is the why do we encounter that?
We live in a society where everything has to be reduced to 140 characters in a Twitter post. And obviously what you have to say hardly makes it with 140,000 characters.
You're right.
Now, I don't want to belittle anyone's intelligence. These are very sophisticated concepts. They go against the mainstream in paranormal, assuming anything can be mainstream. So how do we impress upon people the need to have this fuller understanding and not be so restrictive in their approach to following these subjects?
Well, I think we just have to let the people who have those views kind of die off.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, I think it does. I see much more openness to these ideas among people in their 20s and 30s. You get people in their 40s or 50s or 60s, they don't get it.
Yeah, present company excluded, of course.
Yeah, there are people in the paranormal field who've been outsiders of the major organizations that do get it. I have had very good conversations with Tim Beckley about this stuff.
Now, this is interesting that you mentioned Tim Beckley, because some people think of Tim Beckley as kind of a carnival barker because he sells such a wide range of paranormal literature and some things that are maybe less than literature.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But he knows lots of stuff, and he understands it. So, yeah, he's a very marginal figure, and he's been involved this even in his teenage years, and he's made a go of it. So he is really worth listening to, but most people won't because of just what you're saying. He put out a very good, very nice volume on Jim Moseley, who's one of my heroes. And Moseley, likewise, is very much a trickster figure.
Well, Jim, of course, was one of my closest friends in the world, and I'm sure he was a close friend of yours. And I knew him since the 1960s. He is the guest who probably appeared the most on the Paracast from the very first episode until just a few months before he died.
Uh-huh.
And I agree with you about his trickster relationship, but you see, people in the field kind of take the tunnel vision approach again because they look at Jim and say, oh, well, I see his late dad was a military figure. He's just one of those disinformation agents. We look at people sometimes with contrary points of view. They're disinformation agents.
Well, I think Jim was one of the most perceptive people in the field. And I really enjoyed reading Saucer Smears. I'd read it cover to cover. Yes, but he was a trickster figure. He was very marginal. He did perpetrate some hoaxes himself, but this exemplifies what we're dealing with. Jim is almost an incarnation of ufology in some sense. He displays these qualities. You have to analyze Moseley. And that Moseley's writing in his career in this field really exemplify and illustrate the trickster quality. People don't think that way, especially if they're brought up in the typical educational institutions that we have and in typical corporate structures. Institutions and corporate structures generally can't operate this way. So that we need to understand that. Those types of organizations really affect our thinking in very subtle ways. We exclude things that don't fit.
Yeah.
Moseley didn't fit into the organizations. He was a journal subscriber to MUFON. That was all.
Well, it must be tough being marginalized within the culture that's already been marginalized.
So he is a marginalized person from a marginalized culture.
Yes, yes.
That's a double whammy from a marginalized society. But this is not a marginalized show, although some people try to marginalize us. That gets confusing. We have George Hansen with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Ever need direction or guidance? Ask the Light. Like to have a quick source of insight and inspiration? Ask the Light. Would you like an easy way to spread kindness in this crazy world? Ask the Light. Ask the Light miracle cards from AskTheLight.com were created in the aftermath of a true miracle. Beautiful underwater photography capturing the dance of water and light are combined with inspirational words to create the 53-card deck of Ask the Light miracle cards in a custom, easy carry box. Ask the Light miracle cards speak directly to your heart and opens you to everyday miracles. Spread some kindness by giving a card away. It's a great way to connect with people. These cards bring blessings to all that experience them. Experience the many benefits for yourself. Visit AskTheLight.com to enjoy early holiday specials. Buy one deck for $18.50 or two for $30. They make great gifts for friends and family too. Ask the Light miracle cards at AskTheLight.com.
We all have our own idea about what being safe and secure means. The door's locked, bills are paid, you've got a job that keeps the lights on, and a home to call your own. But what happens when Mother Nature throws a curveball?
I'm calling you to change cover.
Are you prepared to live without electricity or passable roads for weeks at a time? Do you even have a plan B? If you do, are you willing to bet your life on it?
Children left with no homes.
And no one's coming to help them.
The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48 states. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today, or visit us at MyPatriotSupply.com. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we all agree, Jim Moseley, my old friend, was one of the most interesting characters to ever come across in the UFO field. Fascinating
guy. And perceptive.
Indeed. He was into a lot of interesting subjects. I had endless conversations with him about everything from politics to UFOs to the state of reality, and he just grokked a little bit of everything. He was brilliant. I mean, in terms of his education, he went to Princeton for a year or two and dropped out, which means nothing because we think that people like Steve Jobs, who was a brilliant man, and he went to college for maybe 5 minutes to audit a few classes, and it didn't really hurt him as somebody who innovated and affected everyone. So tell us more about Jim Moseley, the trickster.
Well, Moseley was sort of, as you know, he published Saucer Snare, which was the gossip rag of ufology, and he'd poke fun at just about everyone. So he was a court jester. He would go and hang out with people at UFO conferences and drink and just really a party animal. Well, tricksters are party animals often. As I've mentioned before, Jim pulled some hoaxes, especially early in his career. Tricksters are often a bit antagonistic and to the power structure, and Jim was certainly that in the UFO field. Richard Hall described him as a stinking turd on the living room carpet. There was a birthday celebration and people were posting pieces on. So, and Hall was one of the top people in the UFO field, really a major figure. Despised Jim Moseley, as did many other very prestigious or well-established people in the UFO field.
Let me tell you a story, because we're on our last segment, about Richard Hall and Jim Moseley. And I was involved somewhat, but the first time they had an encounter, Jim Moseley calls the offices of NICAP, the organization that was run at that time by Major Donald Kehoe, and Richard Hall was essentially the office manager, okay? He was the operations guy. He was the Tim Cook. No, let's not put him at that level, but you get the point. He was the operations guy, the manager. Jim talks to him for a few minutes, and then Hall says, "Are you taping this conversation?" You've probably heard this, George.
I have not.
And Jim said, "No, of course not." And he tried to explain, "I don't have even a tape recorder." You know, Jim was the ultimate Luddite. At the end of his days, he was still using a 1980 Smith Corona portable electric typewriter to prepare saucer smear. So in the 60s, a tape recorder? No. But at that point, the conversation abruptly ended. But the point being here is that Hall hated Mosley for whatever reason. Then, a short time later, I paid a visit with a group of friends to Major Kehoe in Luray, Virginia. The next day, we visited NICAP headquarters off DuPont Circle in Washington. By the way, very near the location where in the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, you remember that the authorities are chasing Klaatu, Michael Rennie, and he is shot down near DuPont Circle. That's near where NICAP's headquarters were located later on, years later. It's one of those coincidences. Okay, so we go to NICAP headquarters. We open the door. There's Richard Hall, who looks at me. He knows who I am. He knows I was working with Jim Mosley. He says, "You are not welcome here," shaking his finger in anger.
Whoa! What did John Keel call Mosley? The boil on the ass of ufology.
So, yeah, the tricksters evoke that kind of response, especially from people who have very high status. That's what you can expect. And the tricksters can be very perceptive, and you need to listen to them, but don't expect them to be well accepted anytime soon. So, yes.
Well, we have one more question from our question forum at forum.theparacast.com. And this comes from another one of our real insightful posters, Polterwurst. He's in Germany. Any of your own experiences that convince you there is definitely a conscious reality, quote unquote, outside of our heads? Or could it all just be an illusion, which he says, I guess, would be one big tricksterism in and of itself?
Well, the laboratory-based research in parapsychology indicates that it's not just an illusion. There are real phenomena here. ESP, mind over matter, that it may be a very different kind of reality than we think it is. But no, these phenomena exist. They are not simply illusory, period.
So above and beyond, there's an external reality.
Yes. Our world has certain phenomena that occur that we cannot explain by conventional science.
So how do we get there? How do we get past the tiny corner of the world in which UFO and general paranormal research exists? And how do we go to the next step to understand what's really going on, not just this tiny perception of it?
Well, what we do is we look at various scientific and scholarly and philosophical theories and see what fits the data. And we keep working along those lines. We have to change perspectives. We have to change paradigms at times and realize what approaches work and what no longer seem to give us any insight. Again, I will repeat, anthropologists and other studying other cultures have come to realize that these phenomena have been reported for a very, very long time. And other cultures have theorized about these phenomena via myths, and they've understood how to control and channel these forces using ritual. That's where we need to look. And there's some very interesting theoretical work done on that. It is highly abstract. It is not immediately obvious how these myths and rituals work. That's why the scholarly analysis is so important. But that takes time to absorb. It's not something that is read and easily digested, even in a month or two. That's going to take a few years for people to start understanding these phenomena. And I'm convinced that there's a lot of literature out there that is highly relevant, but people just haven't put the pieces together yet.
It's not being a Stephen King fan and just reading a novel. It makes you think. I'll tell you, the first chapter of my book, Stalking the Trickster, trying just to define the trickster, I probably went through a whole jar of ibuprofen because it gave me such a headache just attempting, number one, to grasp the concept, but then to try to relate it in language to someone else and with the written word was really difficult. Probably the most difficult thing I've ever attempted intellectually in my process.
Yeah, it's a very different way of thinking. No question, people don't get it right away. And I've explained it to friends of mine who are very highly educated in lectures. They say, well, after the third time they've heard me, they start to get some of the ideas. And so, yeah, it takes time. You have to sit down, read a lot, contemplate it. Think about examples. Think about your life. Think about people you know who've had these experiences. And just step back and look at the whole UFO, the whole paranormal world in a different light. That takes sort of a reclusive time where you sit back, you do a lot of reading, a lot of thinking, and you don't necessarily ascribe or accept what's been told to you. You rethink things. What's important? What keeps reoccurring? This instability of groups keeps reoccurring. This deception keeps reoccurring. How do you account for that? And any theoretical work that's going to be comprehensive in describing the paranormal has to address those kinds of issues.
George Hansen, can you tell our listeners where they can find more information about the trickster and the paranormal?
Well, I've got a website, tricksterbook.com. You can also find me a few of my papers on academia.edu. People are not familiar with that. Some of your listeners should find academia.edu a real gold mine, but there's a lot of dross there as well. I also have a blog that I post to very occasionally, and I do have a Twitter page that I post to every month or two. Those are places you can go, or right now, that's the best I can do for you.
Check out George Hansen online. You can find us at theparacast.com. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. You can sign up for our premium service for a modest monthly or annual fee. Get an ad-free, high-resolution version of this show and the new exclusive podcast after the Paracast. Lots more coming. Plus.theparacast.com. On Twitter, we are The Paracast. On Facebook, there are two, not one, two Paracast fan clubs. Don't ask me to explain that. Chris O'Brien's site is OurStrangePlanet.com. Check it out and also order a copy of Stalking the Herd. He'll sign it. He'll number it if you order it from the site. George Hansen, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN. We love that you're passionate about GCN. And whether you're a listener, a business owner, or a radio industry professional, we've redesigned the new GCN newsletter to keep you in the know. Get updates on your favorite GCN shows and hosts. Go to GCNlive.com and click on the banner in the upper left corner. Just for signing up, you're automatically entered for monthly giveaways. Start receiving your newsletter today. The future of talk radio. GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.